The COVID-19 pandemic has brought into sharp focus the inequalities in the South African education system, which the haves have been able to make a plan with by moving to e-learning, while the have-nots have had to just wait until schools reopen because they don't have the means to afford the gadgets and technology needed to work online from home. The exact same inequalities have evidenced themselves in the tertiary education sector as well. What can we learn from the COVID-19 exposure of these realities, and what needs to happen for the education system to produce better outcomes to furnish an ever-changing and demanding economy? Well, to share his thoughts with us, I'm joined on the line by Sibusiso Lukele. He's a social investment specialist at Chikalulu, which is South Africa's largest social investment fund manager. Thanks very much, Sibusiso, for joining us. So COVID-19 has really laid bare some of the inequalities that we often take for granted in our society. I know you wrote a paper specifically on inequality in the tertiary sector, but it's equally been true of the primary and secondary school sectors as well. Just take us through some of your observations on the impact of COVID-19 on the education system.
Well, I think, as you rightly mentioned, it hasn't only been in the tertiary sector where we've seen this inequality, but we've also seen it in the basic education space. So one example that I can give you, which I think is very relevant, is that I was in Soweto last week, just driving there to go drop off my daughter. And I saw a number of young people of school-going age who are most likely in school playing in the streets and not participating in any form of online learning or the learning that has been availed via TV or radio stations. And that's primarily 80% of the learners within the schooling system who live in townships and in rural areas, who generally attend quintile 1 to 3 schools. So those learners, since the lockdown commenced in March, have largely been out of school and not studying, not because of their own doing, but because they don't have the resources to participate in online learning. Well, you find that 20% of learners who are in quintiles 4 and 5 schools or private schools are continuing with their studies and have been writing exams. So what we're seeing is just a widening gulf in inequality within our education system, because if these learners, some of them are starting classes, are starting classes on the 8th of June, as the Minister of Basic Education announced. And I think the latest that all of them will return to school will be in August. So you have learners who would have missed 5 months of schooling, which essentially is going to be difficult for them to catch up in anyway.
Absolutely.
So I think that has been the biggest problem within our education system, is that some learners have really been left behind by the pandemic.
Yeah, and even when these kids do get back to school, because teachers are overwhelmed and overstretched, they can't very well help with them catching up.
That's actually true, because, if you listen to the plan that the department has, is that, the curriculum is going to be cut. But in cutting the curriculum, it doesn't guarantee that next year, if we do resume normal schooling, that teachers will be able to catch up some of the content that has been lost this year. Because, experience and research has shown us that even in a normal schooling calendar, chances of all learners completing the curriculum on time doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So I think even with this, everyone's saying that they're going to catch up, they're going to cut the curriculum for this year, there's actually no guarantee that even when we do return to schooling next year, that the last few months that the learners have lost will actually be made up next year.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that will happen. And again, that will just widen the inequality in the current education system.
Mm. We know that at what are described as the rich universities like Wits University and UCT, they've ensured that poorer students are furnished with the necessary gadgets through NSFAS and data as well to fulfill their tasks, as they won't, be going for contact learning for the rest of this year. But what's been the experience of so-called poorer universities like the University of Venda and Fort Hare, for example?
So those universities, unfortunately, because they don't have the financial resources that a Wits or UCT or University of Pretoria has, It means that those universities, I mean, if you look at WITS, WITS started online learning on the 20th of April. UCT followed on the 4th of May. And then when you look at historically disadvantaged institutions, the Minister of Higher Education has given them until the 1st of June to actually recommence with it's not necessarily online learning, it's blended learning, because some of those institutions actually don't have the online capabilities of a WITS or a UCT. So, so what you're finding that what those universities are doing is that they're actually posting some of the material to the students. So even for those students in historically disadvantaged institutions, you're finding that they're not actually able to meaningfully participate in online learning at the moment because they don't have the resources
yes.
that the other universities have. And also, I think what you find, not only with students who are at historically disadvantaged institutions, but you also find that with students at WITS or UCT or UP, is that a lot of students as well from those universities are actually from rural areas or from townships. And what we're finding is that some of those students are also struggling to connect to online learning because there's no connectivity in either the townships that they live in or in the rural areas that they live in. So, yes, we are seeing inequalities amongst the universities, but we're also seeing inequalities within the universities that has resulted because of COVID-19.
Yeah. The picture you paint is pretty much a nightmare situation. And this has to serve as a wake-up call for the government about how it deals with education in the future. What do you see as some of the solutions needed to ensure that going forward, no student is left behind?
So I think in coming up with solutions, I think the one thing that we have to be careful of is that we can't rush coming up with solutions because, I mean, the pandemic is still unfolding and it's changing every day. It will change every week going forward and every month. So I think we just need to realize that, yes, we do have a crisis within our education sector, but in addressing this crisis, we don't need to rush into it and
yes.
try and come up with solutions. So I think at the moment we need to see what's actually not working in our post-schooling sector, because I mean we speak about universities. There's also a big problem with the TVET colleges also. So then how do we reimagine this whole higher education sector from the universities to the TVET sectors? I mean, if you look at some of the degrees that the universities offer, which of those degrees can actually be taught online? How do you actually develop the systems within all the 26 universities and all the 50 TVET colleges so that all of them are actually able to offer quality education going forward? And I think one of the things that needs to be done or that we need to do is that it can't be done by universities only. It can't be done by government only.
Yeah.
We'll also need the private sector to actually come in and assist in addressing the challenges and actually coming up with innovative solutions, because that's what the private sector does best. So it will have to be a public-private partnership that we implement going forward. You know, how do we actually have functional TVET colleges? Because the opportunities for young people at TVET colleges, I mean, there are so many opportunities. I mean, we have a critical shortage of artisans within the country.
Yes.
And that's one thing that the TVET colleges can actually help us to address. So then how do we actually improve the quality of education within TVET colleges so that a lot of the young people who are completing basic education can actually enroll in those TVET colleges and actually help the country to resolve some of the critical skills shortages
yeah.
That we have in the country.
You're asking these very interesting questions, but of course, this is the space that you work in, the social investment space. You work with the private sector. What sort of interventions have you actually been involved with or observed happening in terms of trying to address some of our educational gaps?
So as I mentioned, that because the private sector has strong innovation skills, so we've actually used that with some of our clients within the with universities funding students. So a lot of our clients who fund students at universities One of the great things that they've done is that all of their students have access to laptops.
Yes.
So while a lot of students currently in the sector don't have laptops, I mean, I know that the departments and the universities are scrambling to actually get laptops to those students. What our clients have done is that they've ensured that each and every single student of theirs, that when they start university in first year, all of them have laptops. And that helps because you already equipping those students with the digital skills that
yes.
they need, and they're also able to succeed in their studies. One of our clients as well is partnering a program in one of the TVET colleges in Mpumalanga.
Mm-hmm.
So they've partnered with a private TVET college and partnered them with a public TVET college in Mpumalanga. So then there's a transfer of skills between the private and the public. And they've selected a few learners that they'll be working with over the next 3 years. And then the aim is that, with the required support, is that those learners will actually be able to complete their qualifications at the TVET college. And then afterwards, they will either be employed in a particular sector, but more importantly, that they'll be given entrepreneurship skills so that one day they can have their own businesses.
Mm. One of the issues you've also talked about in reinforcing learning in communities is for municipalities to invest more in better equipped libraries. Tell us more about that.
So what we're finding now with a lot of students being at home is that because of the environments that the students stay in, either in a rural area or in townships, where primarily, they're not the only person at home. There's quite a lot of people, quite a lot of students actually stay in overcrowded areas.
Yes.
So how about that municipalities, and a lot of municipalities actually have community-based libraries. So in order for online learning to be effective one day, is that these community-based libraries will have to be equipped with Wi-Fi, so that when the learners actually, when the students want to go study, there's no issue of connectivity because, already that library will be connected with Wi-Fi, and then they can participate meaningfully in online learning. So municipalities as well will have to be roped in when online learning is rolled out, so that the issue of space for students, students can have a good environment
yes.
where they can study effectively.
That was Sibusiso Lukele. He's a social investment specialist at Chikalulu.